the door.
Foxbox detectives create immersive cold case files that are delivered right to your door. Join the thousands worldwide that have already taken on the challenge to solve a realistic murder case. The truth to these crimes are hidden in a web of deceit. Trust no one. Your case file is packed with police documents, cryptic codes, and access to our online evidence database. So, how does it work?
Inspect the evidence. Eliminate your suspects. Convict a killer.
It takes a talented investigator to solve a murder case from Foxbox Detectives. Have you got what it takes? Then grab your cold case file now and begin your investigation. Head to foxboxdetectives.co.uk.
Welcome to Mum's Mysteries and Murder. I'm Marty.
And I'm Effie.
And it's December. Woo! I nearly knocked my headphones off then.
Well, it's not actually December, Marty. It's still November.
Well,
do you see in November? It's always like, it's December. It's like a non-month. Do you know what I mean? Because you're like thinking ahead to Christmas and stuff. Well, that's what I think.
It's between Halloween as well, isn't it? And Christmas.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, it's getting ready for Christmas month.
And you think of it as winter, even though it's still technically autumn, don't you? Or you think of it as munter.
Munter's a real word, isn't it?
What does it mean?
I don't know if it's Australian word, but it's like it's really derogatory. Let's give a derogatory warning for people.
Oh, like you're a munter.
Yes. And I think it's mostly for women, like she's a munter, like they're not good looking. Isn't that horrible?
Oh, that's awful. Well, I didn't mean that.
No, of course you didn't. You'd not heard of the word.
I mean, November is a very good looking month. You're right. After October, it's kind of like, and then I suppose like bonfire night. And then it's like, okay, now it's Christmas. I've already got my Christmas tree up.
Have you?
Do you?
No, because do you know what? So we get a real tree.
Oh, okay.
So we can't really get it. We sort of draw the line until the 1st of December.
Mm.
But this is a real thing this year, isn't it? Like everyone seems to have their Christmas tree up early.
Do you think?
Yeah. I know so many people.
I don't normally have it. Yeah, I don't normally have it quite so early, but I've got it up.
Right, two things. First of all, why did you decide to put it up so early this year? Because I'm interested.
I think just because it's like, it just seems like such a long month and I just thought, right, okay, well, let's celebrate Christmas because I'm not massively like a Christmas person and we've moved house and, yeah, we just saw the decorations in the supermarket and thought, yeah, let's do it this year. Yeah, let's go for it. I don't know what everyone else, why everyone else is putting it up early.
I think that's what it is. I think because one of my clients as well, who's American, she had her tree up about 2 weeks ago. I'd seen on her Instagram stories. Mm. I think because the state that the world is in at the moment, I'm sorry to be going this dark this early and this serious, but the state of the world at the moment is such a bad state.
Maybe.
And the cost of living.
Yeah.
People just need a little bit of happiness. That's dark.
That's true. Do you know what? I might have bought the Christmas tree this month because I thought, oh God, December, I'm going to be getting all the Christmas presents.
Yeah.
So it's going to be expensive, so I'll buy it now. I'd never thought of that. Yeah.
I don't know. And tell everyone about your, I'm going to say experience in brackets. Yes.
Yeah, so I had a bit of a freak out, paranormal experience. So I was just going about my day, living my life, and I suddenly looked over and the Christmas tree lights had come on.
Oh,
and I was like, what on earth? How did they come on? And like freaked out because I had been sitting in the room, so I hadn't like noticed them come on. Anyway, they come on. So obviously my first thought is, great, I've got a poltergeist. And I messaged you going, oh my God. Because the other thing is that my lights have been turning on just randomly in the hall. And then, yeah, so obviously, again, I just assumed that, well, it must be the ghost. I've started, like, just saying hi when I walk in the room because, you know, they might be there. Oh, my God, I hope it's not a poltergeist. Anyway, so then I was Googling, like, what could it be? And one of the things was, oh, it could be, like, a timer. And I was like, oh, of course it's not a timer. That's ridiculous. And, yeah, it was the timer switch. I'd put it on. So it had come on as a timer.
I love how you say, I love how two things. First of all, the first thing you go for is clearly it's a ghost. And then the second thing, you look at the timer and think, oh, that's ridiculous. It couldn't possibly be a timer. Yeah. But of course it could be a ghost. That's not ridiculous at all.
Well, do you not do that?
No,
I do that all the time.
Right. You have to stop watching all these ghost story things.
Uncanny.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. If somebody's not watching that or listening to that, it's so good.
Do you know what? Three people have told me about Uncanny this week, and someone I know actually went to see them live.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, I'd love to see it live.
No, you need less ghosty stuff in your life.
I think you're right, yeah. Listening to it late at night is probably not a good idea.
I'm definitely right because guaranteed everyone else listening to this podcast, if their lights go on and off, they probably don't think it's a ghost straight away.
I bet they do.
I bet they don't. Let us know. Let us know if you're normal or well-adjusted.
I mean, that's the same thing. I don't think I'm well-adjusted. But yeah, when you're in the house on your own and the light comes on.
I kind of get that. Yeah, I kind of get it, but
it's like, anyway, so that was exciting. But yeah, I'm relieved that it was just a timer and not actually a ghost.
Yeah, it's definitely not the first thing my mind goes to when it's stuff like that.
Well, you're lucky.
Once the dude's farm came on when I was sitting in the lounge room by myself. You know how they have, like, he had a little farm and it had, like, little animals and stuff, as a little farm would, and it used to make a little noise, like when you'd open the barn doors, it'd go da-da-da-da-da or something like that, and it came on once when I was sitting there by myself and I was like, oh, my God. But I didn't think it was a ghost. I thought just the batteries are probably running out.
Did you see it? Was there an apparition around it?
No. Why would there be? What, sitting playing
an
with
apparition
the farm?
Of a Victorian boy
playing with the farm
with a cap on? Oh my God! Now I'm really scared to go into my other room.
No, it's definitely not. Would you be able to live next door to a cemetery then? Would that freak you out? Like how our house is?
No, I wouldn't. But if the lights kept going on and off, and then if there was like a toy squeaking, then yeah, I'd be a bit freaked out.
Toy squeaking? Yeah, no one. You've not had toys squeaking?
Yeah, I have. When I was a child, do you remember? You maybe don't remember Gordon the Gopher.
Oh, yeah, it was Phil, wasn't it?
Philip Schofield, he had this little puppet.
Yeah, I've seen things of it, but we didn't have it in Australia. Yeah.
So it made like this squeaky beep, beep, beep noise. And I had this toy version of it. And Gordon the Gopher squeaked one day in the house on entirely of its own accord. And I thought it might be my brother mucking around, but he was in a different room. So yeah.
Oh. Did it only do it once, though?
I mean, I'm not going to submit that as my, like, uncanny, like, listener story.
Yeah.
Because it's a bit crap.
It's pretty crap. Did it just squeak once or did it keep squeaking?
No, it was just once. I was still terrified.
No.
You see, if I had something that was truly, like, spooky, I wouldn't be able to cope.
My grandmother lived in a haunted house, or what she thought was a haunted house. In the town I'm from, it was a little town, but like it was.
And did you experience anything?
No, because I was too little, but she used to have like boots would go missing from the end of the bed and then turn, she'd hear footsteps in the night and then they'd be on the front doorstep and stuff like that.
Oh, the boots would be on the front door.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that sounds awful.
Yeah. Not great. We've got a streaker in our cemetery at the moment. Just a bit of helpful information.
Oh, my God. Why would you do that? Why would you do that?
I don't know.
What is the point in that?
Do you know that?
Is anyone seeing it?
Well, that cemetery used to be such a nice place to walk. During lockdown, I was in there all the time. It's really peaceful. Lots of people walking their dogs. And now there's like people complain because we're on a Facebook group, of course, because I'm a middle-aged woman and that's you in Facebook groups for things, aren't you? And
I love them.
There's like dogs attacking people and like people getting really angry with other people. And now there's a streaker in the cemetery.
So when you say a streaker, you mean somebody that's taking his clothes off and running around?
Oh, not a streaker. What are they called? A flasher. It's all ER.
Right, okay. Yeah. So they just go douche like that. Okay.
They just go, what? Douche like
people,
that.
Like, they just go douche. They just like open
they
their coat.
Open their coat, yeah.
To what? The gravestones? No, the headstones?
To people, to real
how bizarre.
People.
Why would you do that?
I don't know.
Oh, my God. I don't understand.
Mental health issue, isn't it? I think.
Clearly.
If you're doing it in the cemetery.
Oh, my God. What would possess you? If somebody did that, I would just be like, what are you doing? It's freezing outside.
I'm not sure I'd choose a cemetery.
You're an idiot.
Maybe they have one of those little sock cocks that they have over the top of it to keep it warm.
No.
Willy warmers.
I don't want
How to. Have we gotten on to willy warmers? It's Christmas. It'll be Christmas when people are listening to this, but it'll be early December.
Fair.
Early December.
Okay.
Are you excited about Christmas this year?
Yeah, I am excited.
Do you have any like Christmas tradition things that you're going to do?
So normally like what we do is like we choose our favorite food. So we might not have like Christmas dinner or anything. So one year we had spaghetti bolognese.
For Christmas dinner?
Yeah, which is a bit weird. But yeah, just like we just go like, what do we fancy for Christmas then? We just get like our favorite food.
You've shocked me. That's just like a Wednesday night though.
I know. I know.
How dare you not eat dry turkey? Dry, disgusting
what
turkey.
Do you do? Have you got any traditions?
I do all the things. Oh, do you mean for Christmas? Not really.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we always do the botanics lights.
Uh-huh. That's lovely.
What else do we do? We go out for dinner on Christmas Eve with friends, which is really nice. Because, of course, you know, the dude doesn't have family here. So we try and have, like, specific things we do each year.
Yeah.
We always watch It's a Wonderful Life on Christmas Eve.
Oh, yeah, I remember you saying that.
I'm really
lovely.
Looking forward to it because I couldn't face it last year because, you know, my dad died just before Christmas and Jimmy Stewart was our thing. We always used to talk about Jimmy Stewart all the time. So I couldn't face Jimmy last year. So I'm looking forward to it this year. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get the drink and watch it. I think he's still a bit young.
Maybe. I don't know. It's lovely though.
Yeah, it's very long.
I reckon he'd like it. Is it? Is it quite long?
Yeah. Have you never seen it? Oh, my God.
I mean, yeah. It's been on in the background.
No, that doesn't count.
I watched Home Alone for the first time. Like,
what?
Was it last week, the week before? And, oh, my goodness, it's really cute.
How have you not seen Home Alone?
I was crying at the end of it.
How have you not seen? How have we never talked about this? I've known you for so many Christmases.
I mean, you know, I don't really know any pop stuff.
We are going to get to the episode, but this is very important all of a sudden. Right. Are you ready? I'm going to run through
it's
some.
It's really sad.
It is really sad, but it's from about 1991.
Yeah. It's quite like, it's fun watching it back though because they've got like telephones and stuff. It's like all like, this is what life was like.
This is damaging me, this conversation. Right. We're going to run through Christmas films and you have to say whether you've seen them or
okay.
not. Okay.
Okay,
I'm
going
to start with the really obvious ones. If you haven't seen them, just be prepared.
Oh, no.
Just be prepared, everyone, for the high shrieks. I'm sorry in advance. I cannot control my reaction. Right. Love Actually.
Yes, I've seen that.
Thank fuck for that. Okay.
Because that's quite modern.
It's not that modern.
I know it's like 20 years old or something, but
actually, it is 20 years old. They've re-released it, I was just reading, to have in the cinemas.
That's quite a sad film as well.
It is.
The lady that got
Emma Thompson.
Cheated on.
Yeah.
And also the one with the, you know, the signs. Who is it?
Yeah, Andrew Lincoln. How do you not know anyone's name?
Keira Knightley, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
That's kind of stalkery, like.
It is, but no, It's still nice.
No?
I know that's a big thing. Everyone hates Andrew Lincoln in that film, but I still quite like him.
It's like his best friend.
I know, but it's a Richard Curtis film. Come on. It's all just sweet. And okay. Do you know what, though? It hasn't aged well. All the bits with Martine McCutcheon and saying she's a bit fat and all that.
Oh, yeah, of course.
That hasn't aged well.
She's in it.
She looks amazing in
really,
it.
Really? Did they say that? Yeah, she looks beautiful. Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, so we've done Love Actually. Elf.
Yes. Oh. Obviously, I've seen Elf. I mean, like, first time I saw it was about 2 years ago, but that's my favourite film, Christmas film.
What about Die Hard, which is not, if you're a female, no. It's not a Christmas film, but if you're a male, it is a Christmas film.
No, I haven't seen Die Hard.
I haven't seen it either, but we're watching it next week.
Oh, you haven't seen it either? No. Okay. It's got someone really famous in it, isn't it?
Are you kidding me? Really Bruce Willis. Oh my God. Right. What else?
I always get confused between him and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Because they're so similar. Have you seen Gremlins, which is not really a Christmas film, but it's set at Christmas?
No.
Oh my God.
Of course I haven't seen that. It's like 1980s one.
I'm just going to call this episode, Oh My God. Let's just call it Oh My God. What other Christmas films are there? They're the main ones. Mm. We always watch, I can't think what it's called, and it's going to drive me insane. It's sort of a horror Christmas film, and it's got Toni Collette. Krampus. We talked about it last Christmas, I'm pretty sure.
I've never even heard of that.
Yeah. I don't think many people have heard of that one.
The Holiday Cottage or something?
I can't stand that.
It's Cameron Diaz, yes. Isn't it? Is Jude Law in it as well?
Yeah. But
yeah,
I can't stand
you're
it.
Not keen
I can't
on
stand
all.
Anything about it. I'm sure we spoke about it last Christmas's podcast. I can't stand that Kate Winslet, because she's British and she's probably back then when they made it and in American standards considered not skinny. Or fat, let's just say it. Americans probably considered her fat then. She gets Jack Black and the blonde skinny girl from America gets Jude Law. No.
Gets Jude
Law.
That
really annoys me. Okay. And also Cameron Diaz is the most annoying person on the face of the earth in that film. I cannot stand her.
I think, do you know what annoys me about that? And then also just in general with like Christmas adverts and stuff. So Cameron Diaz, she'll have on like big woolly jumpers, and then she just has like bare legs and socks.
Yeah,
I find that really annoying. Like if it's cold enough to put on like a really really thick jumper, like just cover your whole legs. Do you know what I mean? And you get them in adverts as well, and it's just and they're like decorating the tree, and they've just got on like nothing. Hardly any clothes on it with really thick winter socks.
I understand that, but they got to look attractive, don't they? We can't, otherwise it would just be people in duvet jackets to the ground.
It's not practical.
And a balaclava covering their face. Have you seen The Snowman? You've seen The Snowman.
Oh my god. I think I have seen The Snowman. I find it really boring though.
What I'm going to tell you now is what I've decided from this conversation is that you are doing Christmas wrong and everything you've been doing is wrong. You need to turn that opposite and do all the things you haven't been doing because
okay, I'll watch The Snowman at the weekend. Okay, that's fair. It was another one that I saw that I thought was quite good. What was
For
that?
Some reason, no, I cannot think of any other Christmas films. Have you seen Bad Mums? Moms. It's American. That's quite good.
No, that's quite recent, isn't it?
Mm. It's about 10 years old. Mm,
and has that got that lady that's married to Ashton?
Yes.
Someone?
Yes.
Yeah.
I can't think what her name is, but yes.
I can't remember what she's called either.
I think that's all the Christmas, that's all the main Christmas films.
Oh, I tell you the ones I like. Mm-hmm. Oh God, what's she called? Bridget Jones.
I don't really classify that as Christmassy though, although it is.
See, it's always Christmas time.
Yeah, but
it?
Only at the beginning and the end. The rest of it's all year round.
Yeah, that's true. Or there's probably, it's maybe just the first one where she meets, like.
Yeah, when he's got Mr. the Christmas Darcy jumper person. On.
Yeah, when they go to the Christmas party.
Yeah.
I like that one.
Yeah, that's good. And, like, there's also things like Deck the Halls and
no,
all that sort of rubbish. National Lampoon's. I think we're going to make the dude watch that at some point.
I haven't seen that either.
But yeah, I think we've covered the main ones. Okay, it's not as dire as I thought. I thought that was going to be really dire.
It. Not that bad.
Right. I suppose we should crack on because we have been talking for a while and people have got Christmas shit to do, haven't they?
Yeah. Oh my goodness, 20 minutes in and we haven't even started. Okay, it's me that's doing this one. And I'm excited for it. This actually came from a recommendation from Dawn from Scottish Murders Podcast.
I've just remembered what you're doing.
Yay! She's done an episode of it, which is brilliant. Go and listen. But yeah, I didn't really know an awful lot. I hadn't really heard of this case at all, and it's quite weird. So thank you, Dawn, for recommending it, because yeah, it's great. And also thank you because of this recommendation, I spent most of my Saturday night watching old episodes of, what's it called, Crime Watch UK.
Oh,
have you seen Crime Watch?
Yeah, but I wouldn't think of doing that on a Saturday night. Strictly's on.
They've got episodes on it on YouTube from like the 1980s and 90s, and it's just, oh my God, it's brilliant.
Oh, now, have you seen, by the time this comes out, it will be too late, but people will be able to watch it on catch up. The Teacher's Pet, there's a thing on it.
Oh, an update
next
on
week.
It.
Well, there's an interview, like a documentary with her family.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, I haven't seen that. Okay.
Yeah, amazing.
And on the podcast?
No, like just on, well, just like interviewing all of her family and her friends and just like basically doing a documentary about what actually happened and all of that. Yeah, yeah. Amazing. Yeah.
If people haven't listened to that, that's an amazing podcast. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so today I'm doing The Unsolved Murder of Sandy Drummond. Okay, so it's another Scottish case. I think I've done pretty much all Scottish cases apart from the Dyatlov mystery.
Yes.
So my sources are Crime Watch UK from the 1990s, amazing. Unsolved by Dark Enigma, that was on YouTube as well. Daily Record, All I'm Saying is True Crime, which was on YouTube as well. The Courier, and also David Wilson's Crime Files, which I highly recommend. So David Wilson's like a criminologist and he's done like a whole series on BBC Scotland and yeah, I just love him. He's great. So that's my sources. So Sandy Drummond was born in 1958 to his mother, Effie.
Oh, I love it already.
His mom's called Effie, which is amazing. I know.
Do you think that's her real name or do you think it's Euphemia?
I don't know. Probably Euphemia. She's always called Effie in all the press articles and things.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know many people that just went by the name Euphemia.
Yeah.
So my name, for anyone that's listening, is actually Euphemia and it's shortened to Effie. And Effie's a little bit more well-known than Euphemia. I've never heard anyone really called Euphemia.
I've never heard anyone being called Euphemia. Although Effie's not that common either.
It's not particularly common, but it is like much more common than Euphemia, which is like, what is that? It sounds like it's some sort of, it's either like a disease or like somebody that's lived in, I don't know, medieval
or
times.
Or a perfume. I think a disease or a perfume.
Whenever I say my name, I have to say it like Euphemia, like that. Like it's.
That's like the Duran Duran song.
Good.
Euphemia. Do you know the Duran Duran song? That's Notorious.
No.
You're singing Notorious.
I know. Oh. I know.
I really thought then Euphemia. That you had never heard the song Notorious, and I was like, how has she got that in her head without knowing that's a song? Oh God, we're started on
the
music
God.
Already.
Right, okay, this is going to take ages. Okay, so his mum was called Effie. His father, I actually don't know what his name is. I tried to research it because I thought God, Marty's going to ask. And I was like, I can't find out.
Right.
I don't know what his name is. And then he had one brother, James, who was known as Jimmy. So Sandy was described as being smart and quiet. But he very much kept himself to himself. He lived like a really solitary life. After leaving school, he joined the army and he spent several years in Northern Ireland. So he apparently wanted to join the army to pursue a career in engineering. So like pretty bright guy, but a lot of the information that I saw that described him, it just stressed that he was really private, just really quiet. So his mum described him as carefree. And I think she meant by that, like, he liked the simple things in life. So things he liked to do were kind of go out. He had a motorcycle and he liked kind of going out riding on that and going for like long runs and things like that. So after leaving the army, Sandy returned to where he was brought up, which was a tiny village of Boar Hills, which is near St Andrews in Fife.
That's where I stayed. We've had that conversation.
Did you?
Yes.
Oh, wow. So what's it like?
I think I had that conversation with Dawn, actually, when I was on her podcast. That's where it was from. So in the summer, when we usually go to Ely, we stayed at Boar Hills, which is just next to St Andrews. And it's a tiny, I wouldn't even call it a village. It's just a tiny little group of houses. Such a nice Airbnb. Okay. So amazing. We had a huge backyard. We had a hammock in the backyard. We had like a little fire pit thing. It was amazing. But it's super, super small and
very rural.
Yeah. And there was like a big farm, like a huge farm.
Oh my goodness.
And we walked through sort of like, it's really hard to explain, right? But there's a beach. There's like a little beach and there's this bare rock. Mm. It's called Bear Rock or something like that. This was what the owners had told us about of the Airbnb.
Yeah.
So where we were staying was like a 1 minute walk to this farm, this big farm. And then you walked through the fields in the farm. It was like a walking track sort of thing. So you're basically walking with like, not corn, but like something growing on either side. Yeah, crops, really high grass. And you walked through that to get to the beach. And so it was sort of on like a cliff. So you'd walk through the grass to the cliff and then down to the beach. It was absolutely gorgeous. But it's very small. Oh, it's really, really small area. You would never know it was there.
So he actually, like, he lived on a cottage on a farm at Boar Hills.
Oh.
So you probably were quite close to where he lived.
We must have been. Which I think there was a bizarre. Few, like there was a few little farms as you're coming up to it.
Okay, okay.
But definitely we would have seen the farm, yeah.
Oh, wow. So he lived on this cottage with his brother and his parents lived close by. He was really close to his family, so his brother and his parents, and that's kind of the only people that he had in his life. His dad was suffering from Alzheimer's. I know, it's pretty awful. So he really helped his mum support his dad. By 1991, so Sandy is 33 years old now, and he's been working at the local paper mill at Goldbridge as a labourer for the last 7 years. Sandy's described as being hardworking, conscientious, reliable, steady, dependable, and he's not known to have any enemies, and he wasn't known to the police at all. So nothing kind of unusual, just seems to be like somebody that is maybe a little bit of a recluse.
Okay.
But nothing kind of suspicious about him.
And is he still living with his brother at this age?
He lives with his brother, yeah. So just the two of them in the cottage. So on the evening of 28th of June 1991, an elderly man was walking his dog.
Of course he was.
It's always the dog walkers.
Don't have a dog. Don't be a runner and don't have a dog. Leads to nothing good.
Yeah, it's awful for them. It must be horrendous.
That's not a proper sentence, is it? It leads to nothing good.
Well, I thought it was a little joke there with the lead reference.
No, I'm not that witty. I just can't speak proper English.
Yeah, you can. Sure you can. You're better than me that called winter munter.
Manta.
That's
a good amalgamation though.
So this old gentleman who was out walking his dog unfortunately discovered the body of Sandy Drummond, and he was on the farmer's track that led up to the cottage where Sandy and his brother lived. His body was face down and his hands and arms were underneath him. The police were called and the death was immediately determined to be natural as there were no signs of superficial injuries.
Was this in the morning or was this at night? I think you've already told me, but...
It was the evening.
Okay.
So it was in the evening that they found the body. I don't know when in the evening, but...
Where was the brother then? Because if it was on the track on the way to the cottage, like surely the brother... Maybe he was out for the day.
So the brother had gone out to work. He had left him in the morning and gone out to work. And I don't know why he's not back yet.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, he could have gone to the shop, couldn't he? Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. I don't know why he wasn't back from work. But yeah, unfortunately, this chap finds him instead. Mm-hmm. So because his arms were under him, they assumed that he'd maybe been clutching his chest or his stomach. Oh. So maybe like he had had a heart attack or something like that. So because the police had initially determined that it was natural, they didn't carry out any forensic investigations. The scene wasn't treated as a crime scene and nothing was cordoned off or anything like that, which is not great because it, like an outside scene, like all the evidence like deteriorates really quickly.
Yeah.
Listen to me as if I'm a forensic scientist.
Well, we have been doing our Foxbox detectives work, haven't we? So,
oh yeah, that was just so good.
That was a fun day, wasn't it?
And you know what, it's such a brilliant present to give somebody for Christmas because like you can get your whole family involved with doing it because it's so detailed.
Yeah,
it takes a little while to go through, so that's just brilliant.
And you were saying that you were going to get one for your little boy because he's kind of into that. He's sort of tween age.
Mm-hmm.
And you said he was really interested in all that sort of stuff. And we were talking about it before we started recording, actually, and saying about, well, you mentioned it would be it's almost like a board game that you could play at Christmas.
It is like a board game.
Yeah. A very macabre board game.
Well, that's all right. I'm into that. It's kind of like, do you remember there was like a phase where like everybody was quite into like murder mysteries?
Yes.
And you'd get sort of,
and you'd go on weekends and stuff.
Yeah. Somebody would be told that they were the murderer and you had to like dress up.
Would
and
you
stuff.
Ever
it's
kind of
like a sophisticated version. I mean, I did do that.
When? How do I not know this information?
I organized it for someone's hen night, and then I did another one where there was like a week. It was like a weekend and we all got together and did one.
Oh my God.
It was really good fun. I liked doing those.
And so did you get a character and did you get given a costume or did you just wear whatever?
I had to be, and for one of them, I was like an American journalist. So I'd be like a parasite on.
That.
And put on a terrible American accent. I wasn't the murderer though, and I don't think I figured out in either of them who was the murderer.
Oh, that tea went down so badly. It went down sideways. Oh my God, never tell me things like that again when I'm drinking. So did you have to do an American accent?
Have you not done one?
No, it's not for me.
No, it's quite good fun.
Did you have to do an American accent?
Yeah, so I did an American accent.
Not like
this
that.
This is my American accent.
That is not your...
I'm not sure what part of America I'm from. Maybe Texas?
Oh my God. For the whole night you had to do that accent.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like a hybrid of really bad accents.
Three different accents. Oh my God. And was it fun?
It was really good fun. I had a really good time doing that, but people don't really do those anymore.
No, that you're right. That was a thing, wasn't it? Yeah.
So the Fox Box thing, I think, is a really nice, it's like a sophisticated version. And obviously you don't have to get dressed up and stuff like that. But
yeah. That's more my style, sitting at home in your pajamas with a cup of tea and just doing it that way. It would be a really good present. And we should say, if you'd like to order a Fox Box for a Christmas present, you can get an exclusive discount if you use the code CRIME10 from Mum's Mysteries and Murder. It's our little Christmas gift to you. Oh, look, we slid a little ad in between. Check us out.
I know. Seamlessly.
We didn't even have to do an American accent. Can you just say, right,
excuse me, that was an American accent.
No, I think you'll find it's not, and you'll be offending all of our American viewers and Canadian viewers who will now be switching off.
I'm so sorry.
I would like
I'm
to
so
apologise
sorry.
For all American and Canadian listeners to the podcast, for Effie's. We'll put it in little brackets of like rubber ears, American accent.
G'day, y'all.
Oh, please stop.
That was
Australian. I'm really sorry. Again, please copy and paste the last apology. Stop doing accents. Can you just say, can you just say in your American accent, there's been a murder?
There's been murder. That was Australian. I got confused there. That was definitely Australian.
That was everything.
That was a good Australian accent I did there.
Yeah, it really wasn't. But.
Right. Okay, we need to get back to the story.
I think we do before anyone else
leaves. People are probably switched off.
Okay. Yeah.
Right, okay, so they hadn't...
Oh, they hadn't cordoned anything off. Cordoned it off. That's really bad, isn't it?
It's not great, but I mean, I guess they just kind of thought, well, it looks like it's natural causes. I mean, what are the chances of it being a murder anyway, so...
And was this... Did you say this was the 90s?
Yeah, 1991. Yeah, okay. So, yeah, a wee while ago. But after several months, the autopsy results came back and found that Sandy had actually died due to asphyxiation.
Oh.
The pathologist who carried out the autopsy said that because there was no real marks on his body from ligatures or bruise marks, then he suspected that he might have been murdered by someone who was skilled in martial arts and knew the right moves.
No.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Using like a jiu-jitsu stranglehold.
No.
Because of the way that, like, I know. How bizarre is that to say at the autopsy?
It's really sad, but that is quite exciting because we've not had anything like, we've not covered anything like that before on the podcast. That's so unusual.
I think it's just strange that the pathologist would kind of say that, you know, specifically say that he might have been strangled in that way because there wasn't any signs of it. Yeah, which was, it's just so bizarre.
You know what? It's like someone having electric faults in their house and going straight to the idea of ghosts, isn't it, really?
Well,
it's craziness.
I mean, clearly the pathologist is very smart, knows what they're doing. He looked at all the evidence and that's what they came up with. So, yeah, I think you're right with that parallel.
Yeah, yeah, so close. I think you're absolutely right. Close. So close.
So the police launched a murder inquiry, but again, any evidence at the scene had already been cleared up because they thought it was, you know, innocent causes. So they went and spoke to the family. Sandy's family had noticed quite strange behaviour associated with him just in the months leading up to the murder. So Effie reported that her son had been really stressed out, particularly around work. So he'd been really worried about it and didn't really want to go in. But he, as I said, he was quite a private person, so he didn't give them an awful lot of details as to why this was the case.
Yeah. And that can be normal. Like, who's not stressed about work?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Everyone's stressed about work.
Yeah. But he had been working in a part of the mill and then asked to be transferred to another part.
Oh, okay.
And then actually requested to be transferred back again. So it was to the extent that he seemed to be really unhappy at work. And his mum described it as being intolerable, the situation.
Oh,
but
okay.
Again, he never really went into any detail about it and would just seem to kind of close up if he was asked anything about it. He told his brother, though, that there were two men in particular that were causing him a lot of stress at work. He also said to his brother that he was thinking of taking some time out and just going for a long motorcycle trip. So that's all in the lead up to his,
okay,
to his death.
So something was definitely going on at work.
So something seemed to be up at work.
That,
yeah,
just seems... Can we just go back to the karate thing?
Yeah.
Unless you're going to touch on that again.
There's literally nothing else, okay, about the karate, okay, thing apart from the pathologist thinking that it seemed to be like a jiu-jitsu move that you can use that sort of, it must leave some kind of imprint for him to like,
yeah,
say it looks like this jiu-jitsu move, but it's not like a typical strangulation, like bruises and marks and things that you would see.
So there were no bruises around his neck or anything like that?
Not like the typical ones that you would see if you'd been strangled.
Okay.
But they're literally... There wasn't anything else mentioned about it.
Oh, okay. You know when people put like a plastic bag over someone's head and they murder them that way?
Uh-huh.
Like when you're watching a movie, that seems to be a thing, right? They put a plastic bag over their head and they murder them that way. Does that, mm-hmm, leave a mark, do you think? It must, because the plastic bag must dig into their neck. Because I was thinking maybe that could have been a way, but...
Because you must have to tie the plastic bag.
No, you could just hold it.
Unless
and then
you're like
pull
holding
it
down with force.
Yeah. But that would leave a mark, actually.
Yeah, I think it would leave a mark, yeah.
What would make you jump to that, though, to karate?
I think it was because although the marks weren't typical of a strangulation, there were some marks that kind of are the marks that you would maybe see with that, because otherwise I don't know how you would determine that it could be.
It's very specialist. Maybe he did it. Maybe he did that as a hobby and so he knew.
Do you think the pathologist murdered Sandy?
No.
No.
But maybe like
okay, well,
he had a specialist interest in jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, he had knowledge of it. Yeah. I know, because it seems quite strange to pinpoint it as that.
Yeah, it's very specialist, isn't it?
Without having some kind of understanding. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
okay. You're right. Sorry, I just wanted to come back to that. I wasn't sure if you were going to go into like...
No, like it's very strange because... Literally, that's the only mention of the jiu-jitsu thing.
It's super fucking niche, isn't it?
Yeah, you'd think that they would try and investigate to see if there's any like clubs nearby or...
Yeah, or like jiu-jitsu, get a jiu-jitsu guy in.
Yeah.
To like do a reenactment to see, like a pretend reenactment, obviously, to see.
Yeah. I mean, there isn't... I couldn't see anything to see that they did do that. I don't know, maybe they did.
That's so weird. And it was the 90s, wasn't it? I didn't give a toss in the 90s.
Well, I mean, the police are always working hard, Marty.
True.
Doing the best job that they can.
Yeah, true. But, you know, sometimes they're not, let's face it.
Yeah, in the 70s especially.
Yeah, in the 70s. Right, okay, so I've got the jiu-jitsu thing. Okay.
We've got the jiu-jitsu thing. And then because of this suspicion around the work, the police went in and they interviewed everyone at Sandy's workplace, which she would do.
Brilliant.
And they discovered that actually in the few days before his death, he'd actually resigned.
Oh.
And he had refused to finish his notice period, which is really unusual for him because he was very punctual, really reliable, you know, totally out of character. Along with that, they also found out that Sandy had been withdrawing lumps of cash. That's not the right... You don't have a lump of cash.
Oh, okay. Yeah, like large sums of cash.
Yeah, sums of cash. Yeah, talk about being able to speak. In the weeks leading up to his death. So, like, he wasn't doing it in a one-er, but he was kind of going into branches and then taking an amount out here, and then the next day he would take out another amount.
Okay.
And they were quite... So it was like, I think it was about £800. And that was quite a lot of his savings because he wasn't particularly well to do. So he's taking out these sums of cash. Lumps. Oh my God.
Yeah, lump sums. You're just thinking of lump sums. Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking of. Yeah. The police then went back to one of the branches of the bank and looked at CCTV camera. And he saw him withdrawing the money and putting it into a blue sports hold-all bag. These are the kind of things that are a bit suspicious about it, the fact that things weren't going well at work and he was taking out money, not sure why.
Mm. And the whole leaving without the notice period, if he was that sort of person. There's obviously
something
going on.
Something's
a bit worried,
going on, yeah.
Possibly for his life, do you think?
I think so. I think something was definitely up, but sadly, like, he just didn't have anyone around to confide in or that he felt comfortable enough to confide in. And
what about the brother? You'd think that he would have confided more in the brother, especially if he lived with him.
Yeah. I mean, I think they were really close, but something that he obviously didn't feel like comfortable enough to confide in his family about. I think there was definitely something going on. So then there were like a number of sightings of Sandy close to the time. So he was seen on the day of the murder. His brother Jimmy had left the house quite early in the morning. Everything was fine. And then later on that day, I think still in the morning, he was seen running out of his house and carrying a bag, again, like described as a sports bag, through a hedge close to where he was later found dead.
Oh.
And that bag was never found. So that's a bit kind of bizarre. Like, what was he doing there? And then there were also several sightings of a red or orange Morris Marina saloon car, which is very sort of 90s looking car if you look it up. And it had been parked at Sandy's cottage the day before the murder, as well as several times in the months leading up to it. And there's no, like, nobody knows where this car went. They tried to identify it. Apparently the car had a sign in the back which said, baby or child on board.
Oh.
The car was last sighted at Sandy's cottage on the day of the murder at 4:15 p.m. so in the afternoon, and then again at 7:15 on the day of the murder, so like really close. His brother doesn't seem to know who this person was.
That's weird. What time was his body found?
It just says the evening, so it must have been after 7:15.
You'd think it'd be just after that, wouldn't you, if the brother wasn't home. Yeah,
so really close to when he was sort of discovered. Mm-hmm. So the police obviously went to try and find this vehicle. Obviously, because it hadn't sort of been identified as a death until a few months later. They're kind of on the back foot already. Yeah. And there was no trace of it. They think it was maybe scrapped before the murder inquiry was even launched. So don't know to this day what that car was. There was another suspicious sighting of an unknown man who was at a bus stop near Sandy's cottage at 2:30 on the afternoon of the murder. Apparently, he had a bloodstained handkerchief wrapped around his hand, and he was described as being young, and he left the bus at St Andrews. But again, he was never identified, so we don't know if he was even linked to it.
And especially if it's bloodstained, like, do you know what I mean? It wasn't like a stabbing or like a shooting or...
Yeah.
Unless there was a scuffle. Maybe there was like a scuffle.
But there wasn't any like signs of injury at all. That's why they didn't think that there was anything untoward with the death. This is a horrible thing to say, but like it didn't seem to be like a violent murder.
Yeah.
You know, like it seemed to be like quite quick, like just let's just get rid of this guy. Like, and then there wasn't any like, they didn't sort of brutalize him or anything like that.
Okay.
If that makes sense. So can we just talk for a minute about Effie Drummond?
Yes, yes, we can.
Because she's got a pretty cool name.
Did she also have a pet sheep?
It doesn't say, weirdly enough. I'm sure she probably did, being from a rural area. I bet she did.
I mean, who knows the chances?
She's pretty amazing. His mum was like really dedicated to finding out what happened with her son. She was really close to him. And she'd put a real effort into like publicising the case, working with the police as much as possible, doing interviews. She just put in a lot of effort to it. And down to her like pushing it so much, they actually launched a fatal accident inquiry in 1992, so just a year later. And that was to determine how exactly Sandy had died. However, the really frustrating thing about it, that there wasn't any like conclusion from that inquiry, so there wasn't a kind of explanation of what happened. But the police did suspect that Sandy had been murdered elsewhere and then his body had been placed where it was. But that was really the only kind of outcome of it. So Effie also reported a number of incidents happening after her son's murder. So she said that she received quite a number of strange phone calls and attempted break-ins.
Oh, wow. That's scary, isn't it? That would be horrifying.
I know, that would be awful. Could you imagine your son's just been killed, been murdered, and then there's people trying to break in? But there wasn't a clear connection between what she was experiencing and Sandy's death. So, unfortunately, she died in 1996, so just 5 years after. I know. And her surviving son, James, or Jimmy, said that the death of Sandy had really contributed towards her kind of demise.
Oh, that's
her
really sad.
Later in life. I know, it's awful. So what's happened, basically, it's still an unsolved murder. Crime Watch Special was launched in 1998, but no real leads came out of that. And then in 1996, there was a cold case review team that looked at the case again. We don't know what was uncovered from that, but a journalist at the time came forward and said that the police did know who was responsible for the murder, but they had already died. And we don't really know, because it was a journalist that said that. We don't know if that's true or not.
Oh, wow.
The source that I mentioned at the top, which is David Wilson's Crime Files, which is just so good, they looked at this case. I think it's Series 3, Case 3. And they spoke to a journalist who'd actually spoken to Effie at the time. And she said that she can remember one evening, like, speaking to Sandy, and he was getting quite emotional and he broke down crying. And she said, "What's wrong? Tell me. Tell me what's going on. Why are you so unhappy? What's going on?" And he said, "I can't tell you, Mum. It's too filthy."
Oh.
And she kind of left it.
What does that mean?
Yeah, that is the case of Sandy Drummond, and it was never solved. And poor Effie died without knowing what happened.
That's so sad. We've got to stop doing cold cases. It's really unsatisfying.
Well, yeah, it is a bit, isn't it?
I need an end.
What do you think?
I don't know. That's thrown me the filthy. It's too filthy.
Mm. I think that he's had some big secret in his life and people at work have found out and they've done something to him. Well, they've murdered him.
Do you think this is really awful? But we all know this would have still been a thing in the 90s. Like, well, it still is now. Like, perhaps he was gay.
Yeah, maybe something like that.
I'm just thinking because of the filthy thing. And being gay wasn't that accepted, was it, in the 90s by a lot of people?
No,
especially the older generation, I suppose. And maybe he, someone at work had found out or he'd been caught with someone at work and maybe they were threatening him to beat him up because, you know, homophobia, huge in the 90s still.
Oh, I should also say, I don't think I said that. So the money that he had been accumulating from his bank withdrawals, because the police thought, okay, well, maybe it was like to do with that. So somebody's kind of tried to rob the money, but they actually found all the money in the house.
Oh.
So it wasn't like motivated by getting cash for somebody.
So he was seen running through the fields with the bag.
Yeah. And they never found the bag, but it didn't have the money in it because the money was found in the house. So I don't know what was in the bag.
That is so bizarre.
I know. Yeah, the whole thing's very, very odd, but I feel like he's kept something quiet and somebody's found out about it.
And we've never found out how he was actually murdered. Oh, no, they said asphyxiation, didn't they?
It was asphyxiation, yeah. And they think it was a sort of weird jiu-jitsu move.
That's so weird. That's not funny because someone died.
It's so strange, isn't it?
Yeah. I do think perhaps it was something to do just because of the filthy quote. That's just what I wasn't thinking anything along those lines until he said that. Not that it is filthy, but like, you know, he maybe thought that his parents wouldn't understand, no one would understand, and maybe that's why he didn't tell the brother when he was living with him and, you know, he was living with that stigma.
Yeah, I think so.
What do you think happened?
I think it's definitely something that he was ashamed of that he couldn't, because he's obviously really close to his family. So you'd think that if it was like he was getting bullied at work or something, that he would tell them. But the fact that he didn't say anything sort of suggests that it was something that he was like ashamed of.
Yeah.
That he didn't want to confide in someone. And I do, I think that it sounds like it was somebody at work is like, found something out about him and then killed him because of that. That's my theory.
That's really sad.
Yes, I don't know if they'll ever like be able to determine who the murderer was because all the evidence was taken. Well, not taken, but it was like destroyed. So there's no DNA evidence at all. They couldn't find the car that was probably scrapped. And then the witness was never identified. So
the car's really strange as well, isn't it? Like if it was a baby on board card in the back.
I know.
But then that could have been someone borrowing like their sister's car or something because they didn't want to use their car. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't necessarily mean it's.
Yeah. And it was like bright red and it was quite a small community.
Yeah.
So there were like loads of sightings and stuff. And like nobody knew whose car it was. So you'd think, like, people would know.
And it's such a small place. Do you know what? I'll get some of the pictures. I did take some pictures of Ball Hills. I took pictures of the field, you know, the field I was saying about. It does feel quite creepy now.
I know. You never know. It might have literally been next door.
It might have been the same. I always feel a bit creepy in woods or, like, in big fields, though.
Mm-hmm.
Do you? I love them, but they always feel a bit creepy.
Not in fields.
Yeah, fields. If it's long grass. Do you know, I think it's because of that movie Children of the Corn that came out in the late 80s.
Obviously, I don't know what that is.
Oh, for goodness sake. You need to Google Children of the
Corn. I see what you mean about woods. Definitely woods.
Very sinister.
Yeah.
Beautiful, but sinister. But fields. And do you know what? When we were walking through the fields, it was a Sunday morning, so we only saw one other person. But there was like a gun going off, my little boy was like, oh, do you think there's someone with a gun that's coming to get us? And I was like, no, it's fine.
Oh, no.
But it was something to do with farming. So like they do like a not a siren, but they do like gunshots or something at a certain time to do with farming. Because my dad looked it up because we were a bit like, this is a bit weird.
Okay. Was that an actual gun going off?
I think so. And yeah, he found like there was a sign or something that said at this time they do it. It's to get rid of birds and all that shit, I think.
Right. Okay. Okay.
But yeah, we'll put the pictures up on our Instagram so you can see the, I mean, it's beautiful. You'll look at it and go, that's beautiful. It is a beautiful place.
Yeah, I'm sure. It is such a nice part of the world. Yeah,
yeah, really nice. It's very small. It's only about 5 minutes drive to St. Andrews. So it's not far away. Yeah, but it's very small.
Yeah.
We didn't really see many people when we were staying there either, which is a bit weird.
Yeah.
But I'm not selling it. But it was a, like, we might go back this summer. It's a lovely place to stay, regardless of the fields and the guns, you know.
Yeah. So I want to hear what everyone thinks.
Yes.
Do they think it was just like a random attack or it was a coincidence and he just, I don't know.
Too many things going on though, wasn't there, for it to be a coincidence? Don't you think?
I think like, so.
Often for things like this, when they're taking money out bit by bit, it's suspicious.
He wanted to get away somewhere, didn't he? You'd think he was trying to go away. But then he did say to his brother that he wanted to go on a motorcycle trip. But then if he's just quit his job.
Yeah.
You'd want to save up money as well, wouldn't you? To make sure you're okay.
I don't know. It's very strange. But I loved that story. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks to Dawn for recommending it.
Thanks, Dawn. Yeah, that's true. Yes, I'd completely forgotten we were talking about Bull Hills. So I went on her podcast. She's got two podcasts. She's got another one that's all about Scotland and different places to go and blah, blah, blah. And I went on to talk about Ely. And Bull Hills came up. So, yeah, that's really weird and interesting.
That is weird.
Yeah.
Did you just see an orb in my camera?
No.
I'm sure I just saw something in the background there.
Oh, I need to take you to someone.
I need to just get out, I think. I need to go out and
You need to stop listening. Right, I'm going to set you a task, right? No ghostly shit for 2 weeks. Happy Christmas to you.
Okay, good. I just need normal stuff.
You can listen to...
How to Be a Normal Person podcast.
Yes, I'm sure someone's doing that. We would be terrible at that podcast. But you can listen to all the true crime you want, right?
Just not ghosty stuff.
All the horrible stuff, all the mystery stuff. Okay. But no, this is my quote, no ghost shit for 2 full weeks, right?
Okay, I think that's a good idea.
Yes. It's messing with your brain.
It really is, yeah.
It's not good.
But if when you play back this, if there's an orb in the screen, can you just let me know?
It's not an orb. It's just a bit of light. We're in the middle of the day.
It's some dust.
Cars are going past and it's a bit of light. Come on.
Probably. It's like the timer on the Christmas tree coming on.
To think I'm the scaredy cat in this, I'm the one that wouldn't do any of the ghost tours or the things. And you're the one having all the things happen.
I know. I'm having existential crisis, I think.
I think you're encouraging them.
Don't say that. That's like my biggest fear.
Why?
You know, when people ask you, what are you afraid of?
Yeah.
You know, like, so Marty, what are you afraid of?
Bats.
And people are like, spiders.
I don't like bats.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, bats are, they're quite horrible, actually.
They're leathery and furry at the same time. That is not normal. Be one thing or the other thing. You cannot. Leather and fur. No. On a living thing.
And they get stuck in your head if they fly into your head.
Is there anything more horrifying than leather and fur on a living animal? No. No.
Cute little faces, though.
No. They've got little fangs. They've got fangs. No. No. No.
Oh, dear.
Anyway, what's your biggest fear then?
Attracting ghosts, poltergeists, evil, demonic forces into my life.
No, I don't think you're attracting them. I think because you're listening to all that stuff, things that happen, that's where your mind goes to because you've been thinking about that. So it's like me when I go for a walk because I've been thinking about serial killers, or I'm probably listening to a podcast about a serial killer during the time of my walk. If someone walks past me, sometimes I'm like, I turn around and think, is he going to grab my scarf and just... So I think about that all the time because I'm listening to that stuff all the time. So that's the same with you. You need 2 weeks off ghosts. I'm going to check back.
I'm doing that as well. I do that as well though. There was a car parked. I went to the gym last night and there was a car parked right next to my car. And I was like, oh God, he's going to kidnap me. So I went round to the passenger seat.
Oh, that's fair.
And then it was just a woman on the phone, just like having a chat.
Oh.
So yeah.
She probably thought, why is that girl gone in that sun? That's really weird.
I know.
Is she going to do something to me?
At least I didn't get killed.
But that, no, I think that's fair. That's being safe as a female.
Mm-hmm.
At night time, we have to think about shit like that. Men don't have to think about that, do they?
I
think that's fair.
That's true. Yeah. Sensible.
So we are going to do a little surprise. It's not a surprise now because I've just said it. We are going to do one more.
Surprise, surprise.
So that went into my head as well. Have you seen those on TikTok? People
They're
keep doing, my God, that song's going to be in my
They're
head
so cute.
For the rest of the week now. If you don't know what we mean, look up Surprise, Surprise on TikTok. You won't regret it. It's more fun than ghosts.
I love them so much.
We are going to do an episode that we will release on Christmas Day. We're going to do a little Christmas special. Sadly for Effie, it is going to still be murdery. Someone said to me the other day, have you found your Christmas special that's not anything to do with murder and has a nice ending? I said no.
Oh.
But we are going to do some sort of Christmas themed, even if it's very broad in the sense of Christmas themed special to come out for you on Christmas Day. So you can go and listen to murder and horrible shit after you've been
turkey
or your spaghetti bolognese or whatever it is.
If you're having too much of a good time
and
you just want a bit of depression in your
bring
life.
Bring yourself down.
Yeah.
Chuck on the podcast. Yeah. Go for a walk. Tell the family to bugger off. You need a bit of me time and all that.
Not through the cemetery next to your house, though, because there might be a flasher.
Do you think that flashers have Christmas Day off?
I don't think so.
They could go in there and go, surprise, surprise,
surprise.
With the jacket open. Doesn't really work when it's not
that's brilliant.
Visual podcast.
Oh, my God. You have to try and catch him doing that and then Cilla Black, surprise, surprise.
I mean, that's almost worth hanging out in the cemetery for, isn't it? With a video camera.
Oh, yes. You should do that. Oh, my God. That'd be
What
brilliant.
Are you going to have for Christmas lunch this year? Have you decided yet? Or is it a surprise, surprise?
I don't know, because we just...
We've overdone it.
I've got my eye on this. I'm so bad at, like, adverts. Like, I'm just a sucker for adverts, unless it's, like, a girl in a jumper dress and then socks on. And then I'm like, no, I'm not buying those. Absolutely no. But Waitrose have got this delicious mince pies with a crumble top.
Ah.
And then some, like, mince pie ice cream as well, it goes with it. So I'm definitely going to get that.
So you figured out dessert, but not the rest of the meal.
Yeah.
Do you know who supposedly does? So I still buy Heat magazine because I'm pretending I'm 20 in my head.
Do you?
Yeah, of course I do.
Do you?
Everyone's so surprised when I said that. They have a TV guide and they tell me all the things I need to watch.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I don't know who most of the people are because it's all about Love Island people and all that stuff. I don't watch that.
Okay.
Clearly too highbrow for Love Island.
Mm-hmm.
They were saying they were doing a mince pies special.
Review?
Yes.
Oh.
So they do it on sandwiches.
Amazing.
And they do it on mince pies as well, right? And surprisingly, Asda vegan mince pies were the best.
Vegan? Yeah. Awesome.
Vegan
okay, I'm going to try those then.
Asda, £2. Job done. I don't know if they were the best, but they sounded the nicest and they were 4 stars. There was only like one or two that were 4 stars and the rest were a bit shit. Yeah.
Oh.
They even beat the Waitrose ones. So suck on that, Waitrose.
Okay. I'm going to try those then. What are you having for Christmas dinner? You definitely go for turkey.
Oh, turkey. Dry turkey that we always have and then say, oh, will we just get chicken next year?
Yeah. Do you put sauce on it?
Sauce?
Do you put bread sauce?
No, gravy.
Yeah. Gravy, yeah. What is bread sauce?
I don't know.
Do you have that with turkey? Is that supposed to be for turkey?
I don't know. People
don't know
have it at Christmas though, don't they?
I think so.
I don't really understand what it is.
I don't know.
I'll do the pigs and blankets and all that stuff.
Oh, those are nice.
Pigs and blankets.
And roast potatoes.
Yeah. That, I could just have pigs and blankets and roast potatoes.
Brussels sprouts as well.
No, we don't do Brussels sprouts.
I like Brussels sprouts.
Russell
nice.
Sprouts.
Russell Brands. Don't like Brussels Brand. Oh my God.
We're losing our mind.
This is what I'm like all the time, to be fair.
It will all be fine. Effie's going to check back in with us on the Christmas episode and give us a ghost update, right? Ghosts of Christmas past, present, and all that shit. That's a technical term.
Yeah, I'll let you know.
Have an amazing Christmas.
Yes, absolutely.
And
definitely have a good
thank
Christmas.
You for listening. If you haven't bought yourself a Christmas present, go and buy yourself a really nice Christmas present, right? Because you get lots of shit at Christmas that you don't want and it's very disappointing. Not that it's about the gift, but let's face it, you deserve a gift. You've made it through another year. And then when you open up on Christmas morning, you can go, come on, Effie.
That's such a good idea.
No, you can go.
Surprise, surprise. Sorry, a bit of a delay there.
You can go, that was such a good idea. And then do that, exactly. That was planned. That was clearly planned.
That's brilliant.
That's such a good idea. Get yourself something.
That's a brilliant idea.
Really
oh my
want.
God. Yes.
Buy something amazing.
That's a great idea.
Yes. Yes. See?
And then everyone's like, who did you get that from?
And you go,
and you
can
pretend
you.
That it's your secret
can't
admirer.
Tell you. Yeah. I have secrets. Don't you know I have secrets?
Yeah.
Yeah. See?
I love that idea. That's a great idea.
I think everyone should buy themselves a nice little Christmas present for themselves because you buy presents for everyone else. And as an adult, you don't get much. So you need to, what's the word? Reward yourself for getting through another year and listening to this drivel for another year.
Well done.
We'll just skim over that. Thank you so much for listening.
Yes, thank you so much for listening.
We really appreciate it. We really appreciate all the listens, all the reviews. Thank you, Wayne, for buying us a coffee. And you can go buy us a coffee. There is a link
thank you so
at
much.
The bottom in the podcast notes. Huge thank you to Erin, our amazing, amazing podcast editor who has to listen to all this again and try and make it audible.
Well done, Erin. You're
We love Erin. And I think that's it. Have an amazing Christmas. Go buy yourself a present so you can surprise yourself and keep away from ghost podcasts. That's it.
Yep.
Till next time.
Surprise.
Sorry. It's bye from us.
Sorry. Bye.